Dungeon.
Welcome back to Dungeon Court, everybody. Dungeon Court is back from recess, and we're ready to jump right back into it. Mm-hmm. Jake Hurwitz, take it away.
Hear ye, Crit is back in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford Murphy and Tanner are presiding. Our first case comes from Joe S. Joe writes, to the hot and venerable justices and the, I'm sorry I cannot perjure myself, cool as hell, Bailiff Jake.
I guess it's okay when it's positive all around.
Yeah.
I'm just really flattered to be called hot.
Again.
Honestly, you can say whatever.
We respect the raw of the court.
You know, it's technically rude because I wasn't hot or venerable. But that's fine. I present to you the case of the trap trigger happy player. Me and the defendant are a part of two groups of longtime friends. One of them, I'm the DM. In both groups, I've noticed that my friend always triggers every trap the party comes across, regardless of the campaign or how cautious his characters are in non-dungeon situations.
Okay, before they make them sound like more of a nightmare of a player, I have to say I relate to this. There is a part of me that's like, if the DM put it there, kind of want to touch it.
Right.
now go on, because I'm sure I'm and as a very want to bad distance roller, myself.
I could see myself setting off a lot of traps.
With all that trouble to put the cheese on the mousetrap.
Yeah.
Well, Justice Axford is actually onto something. When his other DM and I talked with him about this particular habit, he revealed he does this because he knows we'd never make boring traps and he wants to see and experience all the things we've prepared.
Wow. Okay,
a shockingly kind answer.
Yeah.
Justices, I beseech thee, does the loving and reverent nature of my friend's trolling give him a pass, or do our parties reserve the right to walk down a hallway of a mega dungeon without statues kicking our asses?
Yeah.
I prostrate myself before you, though I do slip $5,000 of Monopoly money in Justice Tanner's shoe.
Whoa, in your shoe?
Awesome.
That's going to be stinky money.
Yeah, I need those lifts though. Wow, I'm up to 5'8". This is incredible.
This is so adorable.
Like this, much like the winker. I like this person.
This person is nothing like the winker, though.
They're not like the winker, but they are. Well, they're.
This person would never trap your children in a fairy circle.
That's definitely true. So, I think that the problem with this is that you don't, when you're designing something, you do actually assume that your players are going to get around some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that is why it is fun to get them with a trap every once in a while.
Yeah.
Because, like, the problem solving part of it is fun. If everyone is just running and falling down every pit, that arguably is just kind of ruining it.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
This person seems kind. And it's just kind of having fun. So I like them, but I think they're wrong.
I think they're wrong, but I think you're also going to be able to go to them and say, actually, what would serve our games better is for you to not do
to
this.
To engage with it.
I think they would be like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Right. It sounds like they would be open to this feedback.
Yeah.
They love you and they love you. Your DMing.
This person just needs to turn the volume down.
Right.
It's okay.
Murph's classic catchphrase. Yeah.
Turn the volume down, parentheses women.
Yes. I'm picturing you as like a shock job.
Oh my God. Turn the volume down, women.
Women.
It's a little bit of teacher's pet behavior too, to like set up all the traps and all the players are mad at you and you're like, I just love the traps so much.
Yeah.
I love homework.
Yeah.
Although, I just wanted to see which questions you'd put on the pop quiz.
It's interesting that they don't reference in this, and it could have been for brevity, but they don't reference the other players being mad at this player.
They have to be though.
Well, this DM is also a player in one of the campaigns.
Yeah.
And they did say, can't we walk down a hallway without getting our ass kicked by statues?
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just imagining Indiana Jones walking around, everything he touches just kicks his ass constantly.
Another boulder.
Yeah, another boulder, like, ow.
Just, going through these temples like a Final Fantasy character, just like sidling along the wall, like punching every brick.
Yeah, just Cloud walking over spikes constantly. Yeah.
Is there also, though, like, could you just give this character a gun that whenever you're listen, hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out.
I'm saying turn the volume up.
Turn the volume down on this one. Because then once they're safely past the trap, they can trigger it
with
the bullet, find out what it does, but it's the party is safe.
Yeah, if they pass it, you'll slip them the statue.
That's a nice idea. You could have like a post-session debrief where you talk about the traps that they avoided.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they just want to peek behind the screen.
Maybe they just want to go to, maybe they want access to their own short rest with you.
Yeah.
This is actually a really funny feat that you can just give them because it doesn't affect anything, but it's very funny. It's like, make them a post-trap psychic where like they can only see how the trap would go off if they successfully get over it.
Yeah,
they
have you trap just say, recall. I'll tell you what the trap does if you get by it.
Right. Yeah. I think this sounds like an adorable problem, and I think it's not going to be a problem because you have a million ways to say either, hey, actually, it's better for us, the DMs, if you don't do this, and that will probably work. And you can also say, what if we started telling you what the trap would have done? Mm-hmm. Can I give you a trap gun?
Could you imagine, though, being in the party with this person and you're playing like with like a grid, with like a map, because you're not doing it on mic.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there doing all this dungeon crawling and someone just touches every single, you have to just fight everything you see.
You got to give a mage hand. Mage hand is another way to just trigger traps.
Oh,
yeah.
Or they could just use that to trigger traps all the time.
Yeah, they're just going to trigger more traps.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
just tell them to knock it off.
They're going to start just like touching every single brick in the wall, being like, is it a trap? Is there a trap?
This person just needs to knock it off.
Maybe you can give your other players a tool to like get out of a situation. Mm-hmm. Like if this player triggers a trap, they can leave.
Oh, yeah.
So this person can 1v1 whatever the trap is.
Oh, or maybe kill them with a trap.
Maybe like a decoy trap that you know they'll go for and it like covers their hands in some sort of like foam or goo so they can't set off traps anymore
because they have foam hands.
I think you could you just have to run at a trap.
Like, they just have a cursed ring that like sticks on their finger that makes them aware of every trap.
Like a cursed ring that like is saving their life.
I think they do have funny intentions. I won't even call them the best intentions.
So I guess just cool it a little bit.
Yeah, just knock it off.
But we do need to punish them, I guess.
Yeah, we need to punish the player.
Why?
We're on the DM side here.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't be triggering every single trap. That's not what you build the dungeon for.
I mean, I think they're going to live their punishment, which is that they are going to get politely requested to not trigger every trap going forward.
Yeah.
Be told it's for the sake of the campaign.
Yeah.
And then they will stop doing that.
I think
give them a tiny, a cute little Pooh Bear.
Ooh.
Then they trigger a trap. You instantly brutally kill.
Because you have to kill.
The little teddy bear.
You have to shred.
That is true.
Every
soft
thing. You every could, encounter.
But you could give their character like a younger brother. So that then like
a Christopher Robin type
who's like a total tag along. So it's like anywhere they go, their younger brother goes, and so suddenly they have something that they want
something
to protect.
To care about. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have to have a reason to not trigger.
Like,
every
they
trap.
Can't trigger the trap without also getting their.
I suspect this
hurt.
Player would still trigger the trap.
This is great. Could we booby trap their PS5?
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, anytime you try to put a laser disc into the PS5,
oh, it breathes
a DVD,
fire.
A new DVD. Comes out. It's a CD burner.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're going to paint a CD burner to look like a PS5.
Yeah.
So you think you have a freaking PS5, but every time you put the disc in there, it just makes new disc.
But also, it's a literal CD burner. So the CDs come out really hot.
Oh, dude. Oh, okay. No, you're like, we're going back. We're making each other mixes. I got you a CD burner. It's just a fucking incinerator. So you're going to incinerate all your fucking discs. How's that for a trap?
Oh, dude. You're going to have to go get new CDRs after that.
Yeah. You're not going to like traps after this.
Yeah. Turn the volume down, dude.
Your dad's going to have to drive you to Staples to get new discs.
Oh, yeah.
Crank it down, idiot.
You could definitely just make the traps so dangerous that it does like legitimately kill this person or this character.
Is kind of true, right?
Yeah.
Or make them so boring that they stop doing it.
Make it so obvious. Just be like, rhymes with power word thrill, and they're just like standing in front of a statue and they're gonna press the button and let them and then they die.
Or just every trap is the same. Every trap, it's like a handful of acorns gets released.
Yeah.
Pelted with acorns 4, and then you roll like a dinky D4. And you always say 1.
And do a deck save. A deck save five. Deck to save, not fall DC over. Five?
Okay.
You see a bunch of micro machines on the ground. Yeah. What do you do?
Okay. Some options there.
Yeah, so, a lot. Definitely some options.
Lots to take in.
Our next case comes from Samuel M. Hey, Jake, I love you.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa. Okay.
What if us?
I wonder
what
if why us? That one
turn
got
the volume down.
Chosen.
Turn the volume all the way up on this one.
Women.
Right? It's time for Murph in the morning.
That's when Murph has a shock jock, goes through his reckoning. He's like, actually, turn everyone the volume up, women.
Oh, turn the volume up, women. I come back around.
Okay, I am a DM for a party of four in a steampunky Magitek campaign.
Cool.
The party had rescued a bunch of magic students who were being stolen to be turned into batteries and were headed into a military camp. In said camp, I put an airship off in the distance. And when I described the airship, one of my players said, let's go commandeer the airship for these students.
Because why wouldn't you?
Of course.
I must have made a face because the player said, judging by the look on Sam's face, we shouldn't do that. I feel as though my uncontrolled facial spasm of incredulity caused my party to not go through with a fun plan of infiltrating and taking over an airship. Mm-hmm. Was I wrong to not control my facial expressions?
Well,
you need to scream, I'm not scared, when they see the volume.
Yeah, I mean, you had a moment when they said, judging from Sam's face, you could have been like, actually, no, that like I'm cool with that. Let me just pull up some stats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to normalize explaining your face.
Yeah. It's okay to follow
up. I have to do
up
it all the time.
Yeah.
Because I do just look mad because I'm just thinking about scenarios in my head. Mm-hmm. People will be like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. I'm walking to the bathroom.
If you adopt a blank stare, your players will never know if you're interested or intrigued.
Arguably,
by their ideas.
You need to turn the volume down on your face.
As someone who has zero poker face whatsoever, I think it's okay. You just gotta, like, when they say, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that based on your face, you can be like, oh, no.
You have to laugh and just, I mean, I feel like this happens where you guys will pitch something and clearly I don't have anything planned and we still go through with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Also, sometimes it's funny because I feel like sometimes we will be like, oh, Merv hates this idea.
Yeah.
You know? So it might have been, it was probably your player like potentially having a little fun with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I furiously backtrack and I'm like, no, I love it.
I'm cool.
Go on. This is great. Go on. Beverly's doing how many backflips as he jumps off the cliff?
Is there a high dive here?
No.
A low dive will not cut it. I need a high dive for this to work.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a cliff. If you really want to jump off of it, you don't really have like feather fall or anything.
Okay. Okay. But if we can like find some bamboo and I can make a high dive, it'll really impress all of the bad guys.
Actually, that's so true. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't a bamboo sort of board like help?
Yes, and
help him to go higher.
Yeah. He could definitely make a board going off the cliff.
Okay,
he could definitely do that.
So, what do we? Is sleight of hand to make the bamboo high dive?
Let's do a.
Can I beatbox to inspire him?
Yeah.
We're boom, gonna chicka boom.
Cool.
Chicka.
This is gonna be more of a role play thing. You're not gonna add any rules to this. Just do survival check, Bev.
Okay. Okay. Here we go.
I'm gonna do
with advantage because of my beatbox.
Can I teach the board how to be really bouncy by showing it my tits?
Teach the board. Again, I think that's just more of a role play thing.
Just for a help action.
Okay, right. Yeah. Well, you show the board your tits.
We'll awaken the board.
Okay.
I'll awaken the board.
It doesn't really work like that, so you don't do that.
Oh, it's stiff.
Speak to plants. Yeah, but let me speak to plants.
Okay, speak to plants. Okay, you speak to the bamboo.
Ask it if it liked your tits.
I'm just a little guy.
Bamboo, do I have your consent to show you the bounciest thing on my person?
Show me your tits.
You guys,
boom,
you guys
chicka, boom, boom, chicka, boom, chicka.
Perf stick. You're making me hard.
Whoa, bamboo, turn the volume down.
And scene.
And
scene.
And what did Bev get?
I rolled a five.
Okay, there you go.
For sure.
Beverly dies.
That's fair.
And his corpse is so battered, he can't be resurrected. speaking to plants, ask if he can show them your tits. What the fuck, are we talking about?
We're talking about sometimes your facial DM expressions. Space shows their disapproval.
So maybe you just practice some faces in the mirror to throw them off, and you like have a couple built in.
Yeah.
In the future,
I do this always happens. Mm-hmm. You can't completely have a poker face. I do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'll look like shocked, or I'll look like, I have to scramble to do this.
Uh-huh. I also argue it's fun.
I do think it is your responsibility as a DM to, when people say, oh, I think we're not supposed to do that, to go, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
No. So I do think it's not your fault that you had your initial reaction, but if you're like, did I discourage my players? I feel bad about that. I do think you a little bit discourage them by not like saying that it is okay to go for the airship.
Yeah. I think just be like, oh, that was just a look of surprise.
Yeah.
And I think you could also always be like, no, I was just surprised. If you guys do that, you should do that. I just need like a minute to stat something out.
Right.
So then your look is like, my look was clearly of me being unprepared, not because that's such a bad idea.
I think in general, I wouldn't stifle your authentic reaction, just because as a player, it is fun to see your DM's reaction.
It's funny to throw your DM off.
Yeah.
You could also get a really tall DM screen. So they can't see.
So you hide behind it the whole time.
Oh, with eye holes, like a newspaper that you're spying on.
You just have to not make sounds. You have to not just go, oh no.
The DM screen has a picture of your face painted on it, and there's eye holes.
And there's little eye holes, and you just sort of, and your face looks so neutral in the painting. Exactly.
And you hear mumbling from behind it.
Fuck. This is exactly what I didn't want them to do.
Siri, this pull bamboo up is so horny. Stats. Give me a
Siri. I'm fucked.
Siri,
I'm fucked.
Give me a horny bamboo voice. What do I do? They're trying to show their tits to sticks.
Siri, I'm
wood
scared.
Horny on Reddit. Siri, I'm fucking nervous.
Oh my god, my Siri just actually heard me say I'm scared.
It's okay.
Oh my god. 911.
Everything's going to be okay.
I was kidding, Siri. Wow.
Bamboo can actually get horny, Jake.
Bamboo is always horny. It is not a state of change.
If it was hornwood, that would be a different story. Ha 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 ha.
Though it's not your fault, I do think you could have followed up. So I think I'll lightly rule in favor of the players here.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Unless they were like trying to be mean or something, but I don't think that it's very possible that they were just reading your expression and being like, oh, I don't want to upset you.
I think you're at fault because your facial expression talked them out of it, which is fair, but you didn't do anything to talk them back into it.
Yeah. We all look so scared all the time when we DM, but we do have to plead with our players to not take it.
We edit it out, but I'm constantly saying, do you really?
Yeah.
Do you really do that?
Are you really going to fucking talk to the bamboo?
It does feel like being a deer that is just constantly trying to cross the highway back and forth.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So as your punishment, you do have to add a awakened bamboo into your campaign, and the name is Horny Joe.
Yeah.
Horny.
Just a real foul mouthed awakened bamboo.
It's foul.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I'm horny.
Yeah. And his catchphrase is, unfortunately, women need to turn the volume down.
Oh, or turn the volume down, comma, women.
Yeah.
Okay, so ordered.
Yeah.
Our next case comes from Grisby's Pal, and they write, to the illustrious and mighty judges, and I want to say Jorf.
Yeah.
Close.
Jorf. Can I say what I think Jorf would be?
Oh, I have a question.
Please.
I have an answer too.
It's like, instead of, you know how jorts are jean shorts? I pictured Jorf being snow pants that you cut into shorts.
Oh. Whoa.
Oh, that's better.
That's insane.
Caldwell, what were you thinking?
Mine was going to be Alf's cousin.
Whoa.
Alf's cousin in a pair of snow pants that he cut into shorts.
Let's hit the slopes, gang.
I was thinking Worf, but with Jake's face. Like Worf from Star Trek.
With the makeup?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just Jorf and Worf.
I like that.
Jake and Worf makeup.
Your Alf sounds a little bit like Bob Dylan.
And I think that's who Jorf is modeled on.
Okay, man, everybody.
Like a rolling stone.
I pray ski, am I right?
I'm DMing my first campaign, which is currently in a steampunk city. It's going well. and we're having a great time. Great. After destroying a magic book in a lab, the party had to fight a living spell that emerged from the book's remains.
Awesome. Sick. That's so fun.
As soon as they cast Counterspell, I shit myself and they heard it and they smelled it. But I said, no, that's okay. You can do it.
Said, no one's going anywhere until this fight is over.
Is it my fault that I shit myself and yelled, oh no?
It's not a shit, it's a shart. I'll clean it later.
It's a fucking shart. It didn't come out full.
We have washing machines for a reason.
It didn't come out full. The pants aren't ruined. Is it fair that my players call me Doo-Doo Master now?
During the fight, the head scientist, Professor Bartholomew Birtle, was killed. I thought this might happen, and in the events before the fight, I introduced them to Grisby the Robot, Professor Birtle's assistant. I'm about to gift my players an airship, and I thought Grisby would make a fun addition to the crew.
Yeah.
I thought it was a no-brainer that they would adopt him. I gave him a funny robot voice and made them laugh. Oof. I gave him movable metal eyebrows that conveyed his emotions. And during the fight, I even had him inject one of the players with a healing potion.
Huh.
When the party went to leave the lab, I narrated that they saw Grisby sitting alone in the room, looking at the body of his master. This only prompted the players to debate whether or not they should hide the corpse. Grisby then looked at the players with his eyebrows set to the sad position and said, "What am I going to do now?" The party said, "Aw," and then wished him luck and turned to leave. It wasn't until I said, "You're just gonna leave Grisby?" that they decided to adopt him. Judges, was I too thirsty in my attempt to give my players a fun NPC to adopt?
I think
adopt?
You were. Yeah. I think you were. Mm-hmm. And I think you know it too. Yeah. It makes sense.
Just being like, Grisby's great. He's got awesome eyebrows. Grisby's so funny. Everybody loves him. Right. I mean, they don't want him around, but he fucking rocks.
You just have to make peace with the fact that
Grisby starts doing a robot dance.
Yeah. Just no one's laughing, but you're like standing up and flossing.
I think, guys, because you made him so sad, you almost kind of guilted them too.
Yeah.
You know?
These people hate Grisby.
They hate Grisby.
Grisby, honestly. With you, I hate Grisby.
I think I hate Grisby too.
Grisby is not happening.
Stop trying to make Grisby happen, okay? Unless you actually printed out some eyebrows and you put them on when you did the Grisby voice, you're not selling it.
No, but the second you did that, I'm like, oh, my DM like really wants this for some reason. This is so uncomfortable. And yet that innkeeper that he had no backstory for, I loved. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to bring the innkeeper along.
You fucked up as soon as you gave Grisby eyebrows, as soon as you gave Grisby an attitude.
Yeah.
You described Grisby too much.
This is all stuff Grisby gets later once they've adopted Grisby.
Yeah, once they're like, oh, the vacuum robot is our new son. That's when Grisby gets cool.
We'll call him Sucker. Please, can we bring a little Sucker?
It's true. So, yeah, all of the descriptions are, you just want Grisby to happen so bad. I'm sure Grisby does rock. We are just joking.
We're
razzing you. But it is, you are self-aware that you are thirsty
you
for
were
Grisby.
Thirsty. Yeah.
Thirsty robot.
Thirsty for Grisby to happen.
You were thirsty for Grisby. And they could smell it on you.
Right, yeah.
If you hadn't put this much effort into Grisby, they probably would have loved Grisby because they wouldn't have smelled the desperation.
All right, I'm passing out the Grisby hats for everybody. Yeah. Here you are.
Here's the Hero Forge of Grisby I made. I painted it over the course of 3 weeks.
I have ones in different positions with different weapons based on what you choose to equip Grisby with.
Fully articulated.
Which eyebrow set do you guys want to buy for Grisby?
Everyone's just like, oh, looking at my gold. I don't know. Probably none of them. I don't know.
Can you just no, not gold. You have to use your real money. These are Grisby's eyebrows.
Okay. Yeah.
With these Grisbots, of course.
Okay. I think could you just have regular robot eyebrows? I don't know.
I do think, though, that it's like a really like universal experience, though.
Oh, yeah.
I do think that you're in good company of being like, they're gonna love
this
creature. And then everyone's just like, nah.
Yeah, they just don't care. And then some stupid character they fall in love with. Yeah. It is so funny, though, because the descriptions of all the stuff is very like Fozzie Bear humor. It's just like, he's got a little propeller hat. He's the funniest guy. Yeah, just having like pre-built jokes in your robot and then your players hate him.
I think we're gonna sentence you to kill Grisby.
Yeah.
then your players might actually like him.
Yeah.
You could like keep Grisby in your back pocket and have Grisby go on his own adventures and then show up later and neg them real hard. Oh, he's really cool.
Grisby could be the Chadley of this. Chadley from Final Fantasy. Sort of just like the player never really wants them around, but they keep showing up.
His glasses keep getting smaller.
Yeah. Well, it does sound like, to do it more generous, it does sound like Grisby, I believe it was said in the submission that Grisby did make them laugh sometimes.
Yeah,
like
for
a voice that made them laugh.
Everyone enjoyed that.
Was said, okay.
So just take that, take that
just
W.
Just relax.
And Grisby gave him a healing
push.
Just take
the W.
Yeah. Grisby, arguably, needs to turn the volume down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say.
Grisby, if Grisby turns the volume down, maybe Grisby will be accepted.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think we need the dark Grisby arc is the thing. You need to like, Grisby shows up and he's just like, all right, we're just following orders or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, you left me to the lab.
Yeah. Like when the genie.
When I was there, I experimented on myself with the corpse of my owner. Right.
I downloaded an evil spirit into my brain.
So I think instead of trying to make Grisby happen, let Grisby happen.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that might just sound like meaningless buzzwords. But
I'm turning the volume up on that idea.
Thank you. All right, so how do we punish this DM? It sounds like they've already been punished.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. They brought like they essentially brought like a tray of cookies to a potluck and no one ate them.
Yeah. No one wants my jelly bean cookies. They're so funny.
That is actually really Grisby is a jelly bean cookie for sure. That you're like, oh, I love the idea. I'm actually kind of full.
Yeah. Have you ever had those cookies with like a single Hershey's kiss in the middle?
Oh yeah.
And they look really cool, but you eat them and it's just like the chocolate is not dispersed. Yeah,
I was gonna say it's like not the right ratio.
Yeah. Although give me a freaking peanut butter nugget in the middle of one.
All right.
I'll tear that up with my teeth.
And this is a great. This is exactly the sort of stuff Grisby was doing, and they weren't having it.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
Okay. All right.
So what does this DM have to do?
What are we pranking?
I said
in their
kill
house?
Kill Grisby.
Kill Grisby.
Oh, okay. No, it's no.
Or try to. Yeah.
How about, all right, you have to go like so far in the other direction. You show up to the next session with the miniature you painted and be like, I guess you guys didn't really like Grisby. And then you just put a blender on the table and you just blend Grisby to death.
You have 5 seconds to explain why you love Grisby.
Here's what would be so, so tough if you leaned into it and made Grisby so strong. Stronger than the player.
Grisby's level 21, actually.
Grisby is Murphbot.
Yeah. Grisby is Murphbot. Grisby is Ryan Irfy.
You got to Irf Grisby.
Yeah. I think, you have to wink every time you bring up Grisby now.
Or maybe like, Grisby can know he's not fully
accepted.
I know
you guys love Grisby. Wink.
We could also just like ruin an appliance in their house, you know, like in the same way that like the other person, we gave them a CD player that melts CDs.
Well, Grisby could have a laser disc like insert in his tummy.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Grisby could actually play Vanilla
Grisby
Sky.
Grisby could play Vanilla Sky, and that'll be kind of his main bit.
Just picture
it. I'm like,
just because the eyebrow thing's not working for us.
I'm trying to think of how we could force this DM to get sick of Grisby themselves. Yeah.
Oh, let's punch up Grisby. Let's punch up Grisby. Okay. So Grisby right now has the eyebrows. We hate the eyebrows. Okay.
Okay. Oh, we could do the new trend in Hollywood where they bleach their eyebrows.
Okay.
Ooh.
So Grisby.
Grisby bleaches the eyebrows.
Eyebrows are bleached. What about one human hand?
One human hand?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really jarring. Yeah, for sure.
That he wears as a necklace?
And maybe, one human hand wears as a necklace and has a human tongue.
And what if he has, going back to the Laserdisc stuff, and Jake was saying maybe Grisby has a Laserdisc on him.
Yeah.
He has a bunch of obsolete media on him. So he's a Laserdisc player.
Oh, 8-track?
With an 8-track on the
and
back.
And he's wearing two iPod minis as earrings.
Yeah.
Oh, and maybe he says, I put this movie on while I'm eating pussy.
I don't hate that.
It's no, it's trademark Grisby.
It's trademark Grisby.
In fact, you owe me a dollar for hearing that. You owe me a dollar for hearing that. You owe me a dollar for hearing Caldwell's joke.
Yeah.
I'm Caldwell's manager. Caldwell came up with that trademark Grisby.
I was like,
give me a dollar,
from a movie.
Give me $1. Is,
if you heard Caldwell say that, you owe Emily
$1.
That's
a Grisby original, man. All right, Grisby has an awesome catchphrase. What kind of person is like giving enough that they eat pussy, but like distracted enough that they need to watch a movie during it, but is also eating pussy for like 2 hours to watch the whole movie?
I think they're just so good at it.
They're so, okay. Yeah,
right. They can multitask.
But why would they want to watch a movie?
Well, because they have a human tongue.
Theoretically, though, you need to be engaged for it to be good. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Well, not when you're Grisby.
Well, that's Grisby. That's Grisby's.
Wow, that's a great punishment.
I think it's a punishment. Is that Grisby's?
Grisby has a laser disc player, plays Vanilla Sky on set. It's the only of its type. I put this movie on when I'm eating pussy.
You owe Caldwell $1.
You owe me $1.
Well, actually, you owe me $1, and then I'm going to give Caldwell. I'm going to give Caldwell 56 cents.
Can we unpack the owing Caldwell $1 thing? So, like, catchphrase. You're allowed to say a character's catchphrase, like as a fan, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, no, if I say Bazinga, I don't know Sheldon $1.
I have a very good.
Different. I'm Caldwell's manager.
I have a really good team.
Well, the rules are different for Grisby.
I negotiated this when I came out of the review to Punch Up.
All right. So Sheldon just has a bad manager. Okay.
And Caldwell has a really good manager.
Yeah. And he makes 56 cents on a dollar.
Okay.
You know, we split.
That's not traditional.
He gets 56 cents. I only get 44.
I mean, that's still not traditional, but you did negotiate a really good deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So give me $1.
I put this movie on when I needed pussy.
And now you're saying it, so that's $10.
Yeah, every time you say it.
The sad thing, and like really the reason behind the line is that, like, because the laser disc player is built into his chest, he can't actually watch the movie while he's eating pussy. He can only hear it.
He actually can never watch a movie unless he were in a mirror, staring in a mirror.
Exactly.
Which, and that's how he likes to eat pussy.
Yeah. He wants to see his technique and the movie.
This is so hot.
This is so fucking hot.
This is great.
I'm like stiff as a bamboo.
Boy, yoy, yoy, yoy.
That's Horny Joe's catchphrase.
All right. So ordered. We're really sorry.
Was there a punishment in there?
Grisby's new catchphrase. I put this movie on. Quote, I put this movie on while I'm pussy.
And you have to, all right, you have to go behind your DM screen, put the eyebrows on, and then pop up and say the catchphrase. And then wiggle your eyebrows back and forth.
Yeah.
What's that catchphrase again, Caldwell?
Hit him with it. Keep saying it.
Set me on while I'm eating pussy.
Grisby's eyebrows go up and down.
Give
Emily $1.
I'm just waiting for the Dungeon Court submission that's like, hey, my DM forced us to bring along this robot. And then he kept talking about how he watched Vanilla Sky while he pussy. And I just, is this a quote from a movie or something? Was this in a Judd Apatow film and I don't remember it?
It's a Grisby original. You're welcome, by the Grisby. Way. We just made Grisby.
Yeah, we just made Grisby awesome.
In honestly, like, what, 15 minutes?
Grisby,
we punched up Grisby.
Fucking funny now.
And not just better, but we monetized Grisby.
Yeah, we did.
At least for Emily.
Me and Jacob lost money quoting Grisby.
Yeah.
No, only you have.
Yeah, just like, Emily, I mean, like, this is great because Emily, she got me in the room for Bicentennial Man and I pitched this joke exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Jake drafted the contract.
Oh, okay.
So I'm the lawyer. Exempt. Yeah.
Able to get a fee for anything, but I am exempt. I can avoid the Grisby fee.
Can other people quote Grisby?
They owe me $1.
Well, that's what the app is for.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, there's an app.
Yeah.
The Grisby app?
Yeah, it's sort of self-reporting. Yeah. You self-report every time he's saying.
It's to be attached to your Apple Watch. So, and if it tracks your heart, if it sees you're excited and you pussy, it'll automatically turn Vanilla Sky on the nearest TV.
So, so there's two roles on the Grisby app. You can either be a quoter or you can be a listener.
Okay.
And it's kind of like how, you know, like Lime Scooters, there's people that'll go and like pick them up and like put them back on the charging dock.
Yeah.
Right, the Angels.
We're going to be listening to make sure that people don't quote Grisby without properly paying the rights.
Well, it's a lot of self-reporting.
Yeah, it's
self-reporting,
but you can also report other people.
Yeah, and you get
it's a tattle system.
And you get 1/100,000 of a Bitcoin transferred to Caldwell's wallet.
every time you say one of Grigsby's lines.
No, my wallet. Yeah. Because I am Commonwealth's manager.
I haven't seen a dime yet, Murph. Emily's hoarding.
Look, there is a percentage we have to hit before
yes,
you see
exactly.
money.
Yes, exactly. I negotiated because I believed in Grigsby.
Jake wrote that up for us.
Thank you, Jake.
Yeah,
thank
there's
you,
a, Emily. There's a threshold, and yeah, we will get that. There, and then you'll be paid out in kind, in time.
Yes.
Yeah. With structured bonuses.
Yes.
Compounding
That's
interest.
The word.
All yes. the like.
Murph, yeah. there's still yeah. time to get on board.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to. It feels like I'm just losing money here. Yeah. I'd love to get involved. Mm-hmm.
We need someone to cut a promo for the Grigsby Listener Street Team.
What about my idea for tracking your heartbeat to see if you're eating someone out?
Oh, and then just playing
and then it plays
on your
Sky
Apple Watch.
On your yeah. Apple Watch, yeah.
We like that. We were actually already developing it, yeah, so that's a case of parallel thinking. So we did begin
yeah,
the punch there.
I have an envelope that was actually postmarked for yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to put that idea Shit. In and seal it.
That's yeah. fucking airtight. Okay, yeah. So you're admitting that you're lying about it, that it was my idea. On mic. All right.
So
you've got your marching orders.
I right. wink. Yeah. I'm winking at you.
Yeah.
So ordered. The next case comes from the Wizard Syndicate. To the judges in their infinite glory and the bailiff in his limited capacity, I ask for judgment on the case of reasonable requests. I DM for my three friends, and when this case came about, we had been playing for some 2 years. The party had been split in a large city because the rogue wanted to go meet up with his thief friends while the wizard and the bard went to recon some holy relics that they were going to need to fight a devil that was chasing them.
Mm. Yeah.
A cleric at a large church in the center of the city was giving a sermon about the relics, which were three magical weapons. The wizard and bard talked to her after the sermon and asked to see the weapons. Mm? She showed the players the weapons in a large case, and the wizard said, quote, I cast mass suggestion and tell her to give me those. The players okay. immediately started saying they'd whomped me before I could say anything.
There's a save.
How they'd gotten one
I could
over
swear
on
there's
me.
A save.
There's for yeah. sure a save.
Above the table, I said the spell says it has to be a reasonable request. What exactly do you say to her to get to give you the weapons? And he said again, I say, give me those. I ruled that give me those was not a reasonable request for someone to hand over ancient relics to complete strangers, but the cleric would be willing to help. She gave them paper that let them have an audience with the king so they could go and thank him and make their case for these weapons. Mm. This was a way for me to let the party regroup and have the wizard meet some people who were important to his storyline, although he didn't know that they were there. The wizard argued this was his first 6th-level spell, and since the spell worked on 12 people, it should be 12 times as effective on one person.
No, it doesn't work like that, because you can't cast a fireball on someone and then be like, well, there's a huge radius, couldn't right. it do extra yeah. damage? Mm.
I said if you wanted to cast regular suggestion, that could have a similar effect, but for a smaller spell slot. But short of dominate person, you aren't going to have someone give you holy relics. The bard then said that I was sucking the fun out of it, and the wizard said he cast Cone of Cold on the cleric. I stopped everything there, and we talked about everything and continued on later, but I'm curious. Judges, was I taking the fun out of the wizard's spells, or did my players overreact to my table's rulings?
I think they were, like, too excited at yeah. some idea of, like, whomping you or mm-hmm. something, and that it feels like that was really shoehorned in.
Yeah. I mean, I think you did a great job of, like, explaining how the spell works. And then presenting like a fun way to continue the plot while also like dangling the idea that they could get these weapons.
Yeah.
Let's read Mass Suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mass Suggestion.
I think Onyx had it. You're definitely right that like this is like just suggestion, the spell suggestion when it's just on one person.
You suggest a course of activity described in no more than 25 words to 12 or fewer creatures you can see or within range that can hear you. The suggestion must sound achievable and not involve anything that would obviously deal damage to any target or their allies. Each target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or have the charmed condition for the duration or until damage is dealt. Each charmed target pursues the suggestion to the best of its ability. Just suggested activity can continue for the... I was looking at 2024 here. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the legacy one.
Yeah.
That one specifically mentions a course of action that sounds reasonable.
Yes.
The suggestion must be worded in such a manner as to make the course of action sound reasonable.
Mm-hmm. There is a loophole in there that says it must be worded in a way to make it reasonable, and they made no effort yeah, to make it reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Like if you were like, I am the chosen one of this god or yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's still weird. If you're like, if you're playing a cleric that's like the guardian of these relics that presumably is like kind of your whole life.
Right.
Yeah. So to just be like, undo your life's purpose is not reasonable.
But even they didn't even make an attempt to make it sound reasonable. Yeah. They didn't say like the world is in danger. And you, if you like, they didn't make an attempt to.
Yeah.
This was their chance to have like a cool speech moment or like make an impassioned plea. And they were just like, give them to me. And they didn't want to like, they didn't want to play ball. They didn't want to play ball with the rules of the spell.
It sounds kind of rude and childish.
Mm-hmm. They were so hell-bent on womping you.
Yeah.
They didn't want to like backtrack at all because that would take away their womp, their quote-unquote womp that they think they have.
It also doesn't even sound like a womp. Like even if this just fully worked, I don't know that that would feel like a womp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not actually a womp, but it feels like they just can't back down from it.
Yeah. There are very few spells that just automatically work. I think like there's very few spells that like you can just instantly achieve a win. I feel like that's the point of the game.
Yeah.
And like this is, I feel like this is a really fun spell because it is so loose and can be interpreted a lot of ways. But clearly, it's not an instant womp. Yeah.
I would say with the 2024 version, your players have a little bit more of a point because the reasonable stuff is not really mentioned there.
Yeah, for sure.
But here in the Legacy version, presumably in the version that you're playing, it wouldn't make sense for the cleric to want to give this up unless it was, like you're saying, like a dominate person.
Mm-hmm. I also think you, when you made the suggestion of like, this is not more powerful because it's a sixth level spell on a single person, like because it's supposed to go to 12 people, it doesn't make it more powerful on one person. You were totally right. And if anything, you said, why don't you just use suggestion? That's a lower level spell and it's essentially the same
thing. I think you could have tried to use that to smooth it over. Just be like, you know what? Just tick off suggestion off your spell slot list.
But they did. Mm-hmm. They did that.
Oh, they did do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, then, what do they have to fucking complain about?
This DM was being so kind, so genial.
I said, give me those. Give me those.
And then they just attack the cleric. Yeah. They're literally just having like temper tantrums.
Yeah, this sounds a little weird.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like you tried to play ball. And again, like if it had been the 2024 version, then like, yeah, maybe you didn't really have like grounds to say it needed to be reasonable. Mm-hmm. If it was the 2014 version, then yeah, it's weird that they couldn't even make the effort to make a reasonable request.
Right. And also, I think even with the, you know, again, you're the DM, so ultimately, like, you can make the ruling that as, like, the keeper of these relics, that this would harm them by giving it away, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think there's an interpretation in either of them that you'd be like, it's just not going to be that easy to, you know, hand over Excalibur or whatever.
Yeah, because it's like, there, you can imagine, like, a priest who guards the Shroud of Turin or something like that, just being like, I feel like mass suggestion wouldn't fundamentally change someone's entire life purpose.
Right.
Maybe it would, but I agree though, you point out, oh, this isn't like dominate person. This isn't like Gaos. You know, there are spells that do like a, hey, this person's going to do something that's entirely against their nature. But mass suggestion, I think, is high level because you can hit multiple people with a less powerful spell.
Right.
Yeah.
It's more of like a calming down a bunch of people that are about to get into a fight to be like, now is not the time to fight. We must try diplomacy. And like it kind of, I guess that would be like calm emotions, but.
Well, no, that's more like calm emotions, but mass suggestion is like, okay, the guards go to like where the guards are hanging out before they go on shift and you say, hey, leave all your doors unlocked tonight.
Sure.
And then suddenly you have access to a castle or something like that.
I think, if you worded that in a way that was like, we need to be able to get in quickly and get out or something like that.
Yeah. And like, you were clearly going to give them these relics eventually. They just had to jump through like one more hoop. So it's kind of crazy that they got so upset.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Fun components for this one, by the way.
What are
they? Everyone want to do a quick spell check round real quick.
Ooh.
Anyone want to guess?
The tongue of a lizard.
Whoa! A snake's tongue.
Whoa!
Really?
Wow.
Well, that makes sense. The reason I guess is like kind of like honey tongue. I associate with
Say honey.
It's exactly that. It's a snake's tongue and either a bit of honeycomb or
Holy shit. Turn the volume up, women.
Way, way up.
Women,
actually turn it down and let me guess.
Yeah. Jay, give it a go.
I feel like, you know, honey tongued, golden.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Jake, so smart.
Wow.
Whoa, Jake, that was really crazy.
That was really good.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
And here's the other one. It's pretty interesting. Jake.
A spider tongue.
He got spider. It.
That's yeah. actually really, that's pretty much really clever.
Actually, let's change the spell to that because that's yeah. actually
yeah.
better.
Yeah. Yeah. Would it kill us to change the spell?
Because they're weaving a tail. Yeah,
I really wanted sense. To get yeah. it right. Yeah. I need a W.
For my dude here.
Yeah. Great work, buddy. So yeah, this is a huge overreaction also by the, even if yeah. you were wrong, mm-hmm. I would still be like, your party's being awful.
Yeah, like you literally yeah. gave them a chance to be like, okay, I hear your concern about using a 6th level spell. What if you just use a 3rd level spell?
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we need this yeah. to be what we consider a whomping, though I from the outside don't consider a whomping. A whomping yeah. is like tricking someone, not just using a spell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you gotta earn a womp.
Yeah, yeah also mm-hmm. it yeah. has a save. So like yelling womp as soon as mm-hmm. you cast a spell is very funny. It's just yeah. like, yeah. oh, I... Gee, I wonder if the cleric is going to have a pretty good wisdom save.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if this high-level leader of a church in my world is going to have something to help her save that.
Also, I would mm-hmm. argue that a womp, that there's not a spell that can just be a womp, mm-hmm. because then wizards would just be the only ones who womped anyone ever. Because yeah. every yeah. wizard spell is like... would just be, yeah, that's super impressive. Right, that's crazy. Yeah.
I'll just fireball the one guy every time and do like 30 d6 of damage.
Your players are acting like Yu-Gi-Oh! Villains. They're like, whoa. Oh, I have the perfect card. Once it's revealed, I shall win the entire game.
That's good.
And then they lose, which is how it works.
Yeah. Maybe we should
fuck off, Sato Kaiba.
Maybe we should punish the players by mm-hmm. downloading the Grisby app to their phone. Because it's the audio is always turned on
and it's malware.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's malware. So it's basically like a spy device now.
It's by the way, it's free for 24 hours, but then it auto renews at 99
your Apple Pay and it charges you daily.
It's a daily fee. Yeah. Because
that's revolutionary.
You should be self-reporting.
It says $5.99 per month and then mm-hmm. really small print per day.
Right.
Right. Because we need the funds because Grisby is really just a data mining center.
Yeah, yeah.
We're creating a data mesh of every cell phone in the United States and hopefully the world that will all be connected via the Grisby app.
And Grisby, it's just so great to work towards a big goal like that.
Grisby, every time Grisby eats pussy, is creating a new AI version of Vanilla Sky. And that takes so many resources.
And each time, it's in a made-up language that no one can
understand. When he's at his horniest.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot to make up that many languages, you know? Yes, you could say it would be easier to use. There's so many languages in the world. Why make up new ones? Well, Tolkien.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Right? Think about that.
Think about that.
Think about that.
Slam dunk.
He did all right, didn't he?
Grisby is our proto back.
Right.
Is
yeah.
what I'm trying to say.
$5.99 a month a day.
$5.99 a month a day.
I'm just trying to think about how you'd say eat pussy in Elvish. It's probably
consult
beautiful.
The. Yeah.
Sorry, just let me look at my tattoo.
it's on his inner lip.
Oh, good God. All right.
Grisby broke us. I was literally, as you were reading that case, I was like, I'm not a smart person anymore because I'm thinking about Grisby.
I've never felt better to be in the space I was when I was with Grisby.
Yeah.
I'm so proud to be a Grisby listener.
All right. So, Ordered, we're on your side. Mm-hmm. These players are out of control.
You're out of control.
So absolutely, Ordered. Okay. Shall we step into church for one final confession?
Deserve it.
Maddie Z writes, to the pragmatic, pure, and pious priests of the cloth and whatever subordinate role Jake holds here, I have a confession. I'm not sure if this falls under the jurisdiction of Dice Christ, maybe the domain of Dice Devil, or perhaps another deity in the pantheon that covers transgressions like mine. I need arbitration and judgment to determine whether I should feel any reluctant remorse for my sins.
Okay.
You don't seem that sorry.
Yeah, you don't seem that sorry, but I mean, it takes humility to ask.
In my roughly 10-year career as a player, I have never gone through the trouble of stocking any spells. I pretty much always pick from the full range of my class's spell book for my level. And haven't really considered nor cared about how game breaking.
Nor care? Okay, I don't think you feel very repentant.
To my meager defense, I usually play a bard, cleric, or paladin with a somewhat limited selection of spells available.
Bards
never
also
running
don't
wild.
Stock spells, so you're fine there.
There you go. I don't think this person knows. Never running wild as a wizard or sorcerer with the full arsenal of all of the spells imaginable. Let it be known that I do still keep track of my spell slots, though. I have some standards. My DM is also an avid listener. So, Christian, I'm sorry that you had to find out this.
Christian. What the hell?
They close by saying, I'm sorry you had to find out this way. It's not my fault.
Okay.
You're not forgiven.
Okay. You're not forgiven. It is your fault.
Possessed by the dice devil.
Yeah.
Think it is your
May
fault.
May Dice Christ have mercy on your soul.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am like skeptical. I'm like, are people just saying stuff? But the fact that they've name dropped Christian here brings us back into the realm of reality to me. And it's just like, what has possessed you so to make this confession? I'm like, where do we go from here?
Perhaps you are realizing that, you know, what it is, though sometimes you don't have the spell that is right for the moment stocked, it makes it more fun to have that spell, to have to have the perfect spell stocked from knowing what it's like to not have the perfect spell stocked.
Yeah.
I mean, you're robbing yourself of a game experience.
Yeah. Sure.
And this isn't even about rolling. So Dice Christ really can't do much here. But Christian, you know about this now.
Christian.
Okay? And you can come down hard on this. And I think that you should.
I'm curious if you want to change, because the way that you wrote, it doesn't sound like you want
certainly
to change.
Certainly not.
But by sharing this and name checking Christian, it makes it sound like you do want to change.
This is right. This is giving winking energy, right? This is the wink again.
Nature winking energy.
Don't you dare make a fairy circle to entrap our
dessert. Okay. Yeah. We're going to, you know what? This wasn't supposed to be a case, but it's a case now. We're on Christian's side.
Yeah.
We're against
100%.
You. Yeah. We're renaming you the winker. Okay.
Yeah.
We're renaming you the winker.
Yeah. Because
you got
winker.
Winking energy.
You're Wee Willy Winker.
Your Wee Willy Winker is your new name.
Wee Willy Winker.
A true golden stinker.
And you really too. Yeah. And that's your character. You are in the greater Grisby universe.
I think you have a probationary period coming for you, because I think that Christian is going to have to be like, before the session, what spells do you have stocked?
Yeah.
And find out and hold you to it.
And luckily the Grisby app does do a ton of data collection. So we'll know what you have stocked. Mm-hmm. It gives access to your D&D Beyond. So download the Grisby app. Start there.
We know that Christian is a Grisby listener.
Yeah. Get on the $5.
And don't worry about subscribing. You're auto subscribed. Don't worry about paying. You are auto paying.
Yeah. As long as you've used a credit card in the last year online, we'll find it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Grisby will find it.
Grisby will find it. Grisby will charge
it. Yeah. Mean Santa Claus.
Right.
Is the Winker kind of like the villain of the Grisby universe?
Yeah.
Are they like diametrically opposed?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good
They're
call.
Always trying to steal Grisby's DVD or disc.
Apple Watch.
So then that would make Grisby the hero. Which I'm actually okay.
Of course.
With.
Why would Grisby not be
now
a hero?
Now that we got rid of the eyebrows,
collects,
I'm okay with it.
He makes AI Vanilla Sky. He eats pussy.
What's not to love?
He's a classic hero of
He's
fantasy.
A classic hero.
Okay,
yeah.
So ordered.
Yeah, so you're part of the Grisby universe now.
So not forgiven, so ordered.
Right.
So not forgiven, so ordered. I think it's time to learn what you've been sidestepping.
Yeah, Christian, you got to get on this. You got to get on this, all right?
Yeah, got to nip this in the bud.
May Dice Christ bless you and bring the hammer of justice down on this submitter.
Yeah.
Amen.
Dice Christ have mercy on your soul. All right, with that, we're going to wrap this one up. A lot of people lately submitting to Dice Christ, not sorry.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
really lax it is.
And unfortunately, we do love it. So it's honestly great. You can keep doing it if you guys want.
We did make you kind of cool by making you the villain of the Grisby universe.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are going to get royalties.
Mm-hmm. No.
Whoa, really?
Wait.
Really?
No.
Wait, Murphy,
you getting
in the royalty
that?
Game?
Wait. I don't know.
Yeah, no royalties. You do get to defer your payments that you have to make to Emily.
You
have
what
to
it
pay
is?
Them eventually, but you can defer them for a period
you can take
of 5 years.
A loan with a really high interest rate.
I think
from
it
her,
is
from me
to pay me.
That's how I get into it. Yeah.
To then pay Caldwell.
I think I figured it out, which is that like the Winker is the one that rents Vanilla Sky from the library and steals it. There. And yeah, so Grisby can't play it. So
Grisby
needs it.
Yeah.
To eat pussy.
Yeah. Yeah. We want it.
Grisby can't please anyone sexually unless Grisby has Vanilla a laser Sky. Disc of Vanilla Sky.
On laser disc.
Yeah. That's right. Because he's got it. Grisby is actually spelling out every word of dialogue to Vanilla Sky as he eats pussy.
That's
the technique.
Yeah.
Incredible.
All right.
Must be really weird when there's scenes without dialogue.
Yeah. He just stops.
That's what Grisby makes you wait for.
He just vibrates. Nothing more terrifying than a robot stopping in the middle of eating you out.
This thing broke.
Just like it's cold robot face chilling. All right. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you to all of our submitters, especially the Grisby submitter.
Yep.
Awesome part of the NADPOD Nightmareverse. We'll be back next week to Trinvale Extrad and short rest.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Caldo, why don't you take us out?
Oh, you know you got to download that Grisby app and get ready to roll those Grisby dice.
Rolling with the Grisby dice.
Download it. Download it now. $5.99.
Auto charge. Auto subscribe.